Good morning, everybody. Thanks for letting me and Sharon. We had some time with our family this last week, and we're worn out. Those little ones, they are so full of energy. But boy, I'm so excited this morning. I want you to take your Bibles this morning for Psalm 9. We're going to look at Psalm 9 this morning. And Mike, thank you, and Daphne and Dot, thank you for leading us in worship. We're here today to do what? To worship. And we have worshiped. And I've just been thanking the Lord for the music this morning that to help us to worship. And, you know, you can worship God anywhere. And do you know you can worship God anytime? And I hope you do. But on Sunday mornings, we come here to worship. And I just want to take a couple of weeks here in these next few weeks, and if the Lord allows it, to talk to you about acceptable worship, about biblical worship, and about worship that pleases the God that we serve so much. We know that God is all-powerful. He's perfect. How many times this morning I've heard the word perfect? Perfect in every way. It's because of who he is that we're here this morning. Amen? We know that he's praiseworthy. We need to enter these doors. This is a sanctuary. I know it's a Grange Hall, but it's a sanctuary. Right now, it's a sanctuary. We're ready to worship and celebrate all that God has done. We come here on this Sunday morning because we're here to celebrate what he's done all this week. He's helped us make it through the week. Because he loves us and he's perfect. It's because of who he is that we're here. Not because of who we are, but because of who he is. David tells us to praise the Lord freely and fully in these verses here in Psalm 9. I'm going to ask you able to stand. We're going to stand and read some of these verses in Psalm chapter 9, the ninth psalm, in David's psalm. Verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. And thou hast rebuked the heathen. And thou hast destroyed the wicked. And thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, and their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Aren't we in times of trouble? And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. We're going to end right there. Lord, bless this. Will you bow with me? Lord, we have come today to bring glory to your name. Thank you for the music we've heard today. It's because of who you are. It's because you're worthy of our praise today. And this is the reason we come to gather together today, Lord, is to praise you for who you are and how you have done so marvelously in our lives. And even this week, I've heard of things that have happened in this fellowship, of how you've worked and answered prayer. God, we love you this morning. Speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to be more centered than ever before on you, Lord, and worshiping you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to worship, there's some things that we need to know about ourselves. One thing, we are marked by dignity because we're made in the image of God. Verse 7 says, the Lord shall endure forever. And we are eternal beings made in God's image. We are marked also by dignity. But we are marked by tragedy. Because man is born in sin. Because of the fall of Adam. We are sinners and we have a sinful nature. But praise God, we are marked by opportunity this morning. Because of the grace of God in our lives. That he sent his son to die on that old rugged cross and give us hope. Verse 10 says, thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. He paid for your sin and my sin, and so we could have an eternal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 14 says, I will rejoice in your salvation. That's what David says. David knew all of the truths, and they were the foundation for him writing this psalm. Now, Psalm 9 and Psalm 10 go together, but we don't have time to do that this morning, but they kind of go together. And maybe you can read 10 when you go home, but the psalm is one of the greatest prophecies of the Old Testament. But this psalm also leads us to worship. And I mentioned some truths about God and some truths about man, and we began this message, but there's some truths about the world that we live in that can help us to worship. The truth that we live in a fallen world. It's not the way God made it. Verse 7 says, he has prepared his throne for judgment. The world, it has been destroyed by man's sin. And that's the tragedy. And that's what we're facing today. And that's where we are. But as spoiled as the world is by sin, we need to understand to worship God freely and fully. We need to understand God will triumph and he will make all things new and the world will be made right and to be made righteous again and by his power. Verse 5, you have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You know, we get so discouraged. We see how wicked the world is and how they seem to be flourishing. David got upset that way, did you know? Although we see all the negative news that's surrounding us and how Satan is at work, it seems like evil is everywhere. But we know that our God is victorious. And this morning he's here, and he's here to help us worship his Spirit. And all of Satan's power this morning unleashed cannot affect the final outcome. Amen? You may be feeling down this morning, but I'm telling you, we win. We win because we're his children. Verse 8, look at verse 8. It says, he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall administer judgment. The world is spoiled by sin, but God will ultimately triumph over sin. And that helps us worship this morning. Those that are wicked that live on the earth only have a short victory. Verse 6 says, even their memory has perished. Wow. Do you want to be remembered? I took one of my grandsons aside and I told him how much I loved him. He's 32 and I got one 30 and they were both there with their children. And I'm proud of them. It's hard out there raising children today in this world. And as they look at the future, it's easy to get depressed. David addressed that several times in Psalm. But he asked the question, why does it seem that the wicked are doing so well while we are suffering? But David comes to know that God is in his power, in his perfection, that he is praiseworthy. He comes to know of man's dignity, made in the image of God the Father. And he comes to know the tragedy of sin. And finally, he comes to know that the opportunity of salvation, all that leads him to worship. Look at verse 1 and 2 again. I want to look over that verse, those two verses one more time. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. How does David begin this worship? He begins with the Lord. And if you read at the end of this, we didn't read the last verses, but we'll look briefly there. But in fact, 19 and 20, he ends with the Lord. Look what he says, 19 and 20. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. How does David, how is he begins and he ends and he says, he begins with the Lord, he ends with the Lord. And the verse is, all these verses in between are about the Lord. I will praise the Lord, verse 1, with a whole heart. Have you come here this morning to praise Him? To worship Him? I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in who you are. And that's what we've just been singing. I thought it was just great to hear the music this morning. I will praise your name. And we do it through song. There's a reason for music. God gave us the gift of music. I tell you, music, as you get older, I don't know what it is. It just thrills your heart more and more. I know. I heard screeching in three different string instruments for almost 20 years around my house. We stretched our kids out. They're kind of stretched out. And all of them played strings. Do you know what it sounds like when they start playing strings? Twinkle, twinkle, little star. I've heard that thing a million times. But I've come to appreciate music because it's not easy. But God gives us music so we can praise Him with a whole heart. And what do we see here? Well, what is David's focus? His circumstances, his problems. David had lots of problems. But his focus is on the Lord. You know, when we get focused on the Lord, the problems kind of shrink, don't they? God puts them in right perspective. What were you thinking about when you came into the sanctuary this morning? You left the world out there and it teaches us to be focused on ourselves and on our circumstances. We need to know who we are in Christ. That we are accepted. And remember the message in Ephesians chapter 1? We are accepted in the Beloved. We're valuable to God because He loves us. Ephesians chapter 1. Our worship is to be toward God first. Many come with a give me attitude sometimes. And a wise man once said that man must first understand God before he can understand man himself. David understood this, and he says in verse 2, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. You know, we studied a lot about Joshua. Think of Joshua, all that Moses had done with God at his side. And now Joshua's to take over from Moses. And if Joshua would have been focused on himself and tried to live up to what Moses had done, but his focus was on God. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, God says to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, Joshua. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Boy, you know what? God has promised to be with you. Did you know that? He said, I'll never forsake you. You have that same promise that Joshua had. If you're going to make it as a leader or a follower, it has to be about God. Man will come and go, but God doesn't, He doesn't need a tombstone. We in our weakness need Him. David knew the Lord deserved his praise, and David knew that the power that the Lord had displayed, and David knew the protection that the Lord could give his people. And David made it clear in verses 1 and 2, the Lord deserved his praise with his whole heart. David was glad in the Lord. You remember when David danced before the Lord and out in the parade coming in, and his wife was embarrassed because he wasn't well dressed. The Lord made him to rejoice to the point he sang the praises of the Lord. Look at verse 11. He takes it up again. In verse 11 he says, "Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people." You know, I can tell the longer I come to this church, I know there's many of you here, I was telling somebody this morning, that you are, you're focused when you come here. You're really ready to praise the Lord when you come here. You're ready to worship when you come here. Do you know that's rare in the church today? A lot of people go to church to be entertained today. Did you know that? It's like when I went to that Christmas service, I couldn't believe it. There was so much smoke and glitter going on. I couldn't see anybody. I don't know what they were doing there. Sorry, it was a Southern Baptist church. But we're different. You know, the Southern Baptists are from here to here in the way they worship. We've got some good churches, don't get me wrong. But you gotta know where you're going and what you're doing. And David was glad in the Lord. He says, "Declare his deeds among the people." You know, preparing your hearts to worship is not something we do all the time. When is a good time to prepare your heart to worship? Saturday night? Sunday morning? Monday? We live in a place we've been trying to sell a house for years, and for some reason the Lord just won't let us sell that house. And we sit on this little corner lot out in the country, and it used to be no cars come by at all. Now they come by crazy. But we have birds, a lot of birds. How many here, you got bird seeds? Anybody buy bird seed? It's expensive, isn't it? But is it worth it? Yes. Sit out in my living room and right out my, we have one picture window in the house, and that's the one where the birds all got all their, we got them all lined up there, hummingbirds. And you know you're getting old when you start looking at birds a lot. My youngest daughter, she loves birds, and she's getting married in October, so I won't be here on the 17th of October. And she even helped her husband-to-be pick out a coat to wear for the wedding, and guess what's on the coat? Birds. So I had a great idea. You know what I did? I texted her. I said, "Guess what? I'm gonna get a vest out of his coat." "Dad, that's a great idea." I don't know if that's going to happen or not, because it might be expensive. But if I asked you point blank, are you committed to worshiping God? I'd say every one of you would say yes. But if I ask you, if you came here this morning and you were totally prepared for worship this morning, what would you say? To reach the highest form of worship here on this earth, this fallen earth, has a lot less to do with our emotions and a lot more to do with our wills and the decisions we make. Emotions are part of it, but true love involves a lot more than emotions. It involves the will. And David said in verse 1, I will praise. And David made a decision to praise God. If you know enough about David's life, he didn't have it easy. His life was full of trials. He had to turn himself from all the pain and all the distractions of the world to willfully praise the Lord. Let me ask you, have you ever decided to be a worshiper? Have you ever made that decision? Have you decided to, you know, we've made a lot of decisions in our life. But have you ever really decided to be a wholehearted worshiper like David? I'm not talking about a style of worship? Have you made a conscious decision to worship God? Have you ever said, I will praise Him? If you never did, you never have. You may have got caught up with other people in the emotions, in the beauty of the song, or a testimony that somebody's given, and you've worshiped God. But see, it's volitional. It's not emotional. It's a decision that you make. Consider Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 22. And it said, they had just cast a spirit of divination out of a slave girl. And then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And they laid many stripes on them and threw them in prison and put their feet in stocks. And verse 25 says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas, get this picture, Paul and Silas are beaten, terribly beaten. And what are they doing? Praying and singing hymns to God. They didn't get caught up in a worship service. They had every right to be moaning and complaining to God, but what did they do? They made a conscious decision in great pain and agony to worship the King. They said, I will praise, and he makes it clear the object of his praise. And he says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. He's not worshiping some intermediate object, no, or not a statue, not a cross. It was God alone that he worshiped. See, there should be no doubt in the direction of your worship. There should be no doubt about the devotion of your worship. And David says, I will worship who? You, Lord. With what? With my whole heart. His direction is clear. His devotion is clear. And not part of his heart, but all of his heart. And biblical worship is total surrender. Total surrender. You know what the trouble with, I think, the church, and with me as a Christian? With my life, when I look back, you know what's wrong? I wasn't totally surrendered. I told you about that time I was in Devil's Garden. Remember, I pulled my car over? And I was listening to Oliver B. Green. What's in the middle of the road? Yellow lines and dead dogs. And the Holy Spirit talked to me. Richard, you're walking in the middle of the road and you're going to get hit. And he was Savior, but he wasn't Lord of my life. Did you know that? I could go on, I'd say a lot about that, but we got to go all the way, you know. God saves us and by grace, and sometimes we don't understand. We're young, we're just 9 years old, or we're seven, or even sometimes we're 50 and we don't know. We just begin. Aren't you glad God has patience with us? I almost got caught up in Lordship salvation, you know. I'm not going to tell you who preaches it, but I kind of respect the guy. But he teaches that, and it made sense to me. I was tired of Christians that, you know, there's garden Christians and there's vineyard Christians. And I was taught that in Bible college. Boy, if you get those garden Christians, you're going to have to pull a lot of weeds, get a lot of spray in your tank, and you better be ready. Those vineyard Christians, you know, you just prune them a little bit, and boy, they grow. Don't you want to be a vineyard Christian? I've been trying, and it's hard. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We're going to give Him all our heart. We shouldn't hold anything back, nothing back. And I can remember my wife and I standing, we were really discouraged. I'd gone, nobody knows this story much but me and Sherry. But we were called to go up to Greensboro Baptist Church as associate pastor, and we went there to preach, and the pastor and I, we had a little difference on something. And I'm not going to even tell you what it is, but it was something I said, I'll submit to you on this, but I don't believe like you believe. And so I was ready to go in to preach my sermon there so I could be voted on as associate pastor. And the pastor told me, no, you can't go in. The deacons don't want you to go. We're going to cause a division in our church because you and I don't agree alike. So I'd come 1,200 miles, went home, didn't get to preach. 17 months later, he called me back. He said, you know, I made a mistake. I think you ought to come. And I was dumb enough to come. I fought the Lord like crazy. So I was a reject in the ministry. But I'll tell you, God blessed me so many times those 14 years I was there. I see the faces of most godly older ladies. We had three ladies over 100 years old there. They were the most godly ladies. There's something in the Bible that says about long life for those that love him, right? This isn't part of the message. I hope you got a few more minutes. All the way my Savior leads me, the fullness of his love. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages. Jesus, lead me all the way. And he went all the way for us. I should give him less than my all? Never. God, I worship you. God, I praise you. God, I magnify your name. You're my all in all. I am nothing and you are everything to me. Biblical worship requires our all. See, there are all kinds of worshipers. I've got three here. I'm going to let you decide which one you are. It's up here. Some are routine formalists. Some are half-hearted participants. And some are wholehearted, devoted worshipers. Those three kind of covered. You want to take the test? Uh-oh. Routine formalist. Just go through the same old thing Sunday after. No emotions. You just go through the motions every Sunday. It's a habit. Well, half-hearted participant or a wholehearted worshiper, devoted. Maybe you're like me and you just say, well, I can't be perfect. I mean, how can I be a wholehearted, devoted worshiper all the time? Well, routine formless, that's not me. Well, you only have one left. It's not a good one. The only one left is half-hearted participants. Lukewarm participants. What did Jesus say about that? Woo. Yeah, woo. Good morning, God. I'm from the half-hearted participant group. Aren't you glad to see me? Even Jeremiah talking in half-hearted followers in Jeremiah chapter 3 said this, acknowledge your sin that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree. He's talking about the groves of false gods. He said, you've been all over the place. And it's not me that you worship. God says, you aren't really in love with me. You aren't really passionate about me. Are you passionate about the Lord Jesus this morning? If you aren't passionate about your wife, well, if you don't save all your kisses for your wife, God says that's adultery. God's a jealous God. And you're under every green tree with other gods, money, whatever. You know, you can even have, you know, good things can be your God. There can be some good things, but they're not as good as God. Now, God longs for wholehearted devotion. You know, if there are good things that are taking you away from God this morning, they're not good for you. They're not good for you. Revelation 3:16, Jesus says to the Laodicean church, he says, because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. If you were dead, God says, if you were dead, I could come and I could bring fire into your coldness and I could light you on fire, but you're not. You're hot. You're not hot. I can fan, if you're hot, I can fan a flame and foster a flame in your life. You know, God's not concerned about cold, dead churches. They're nothing. He delighted with churches full of wholehearted, passionate worshipers, committed worshipers in love with Jesus. Think about that. There's a future for really passionate churches. Do you know that? Now, some of them get way off and it goes by feelings. That's what I was trying to tell you. It's not emotions. It's decisions. There's a future for... Is there a future for a really cold church? Yeah, there is. Let's not talk about it. It gets kind of bad. Think about it. Cold churches. Now, they don't go to hell, but they stand before Jesus. No crowns to lay at the Savior's feet. Just shame and remorse. All the what ifs. What was wrong with me? Why didn't I get it? Oh, I'm way back here. I'm way back here in the crowd, but His glory fills heaven. His light fills heaven. We can learn from the woman with the alabaster flask in Mark 14. It didn't give her name there, but it did in Matthew. But the true worship is unique in its thoughtfulness, and that it evokes criticism when you really worship God the way you should. It demanded brokenness. And it overflowed to the watching world. That's what true worship will do. When they criticized her, so Jesus said in verse 6 and 7 there, that let her alone. She has done a good work for me. She had anointed him for his crucifixion. He says, when the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be a memorial to her. And God reminds us this morning through David that our worship is to be done with our whole heart. Be glad and rejoice in Him, singing praises to the Most High. The object of our praise is to be the Lord. Our nature of our praise is to be wholehearted. And the grounds of our praise is His wonders that He performs for us. David said, I will tell of all your marvelous works and wonders, the wonders of His creation, the wonders of His sacrifice for our salvation. You never really experience worship till you come to a place that you do not want to be anywhere else but in the presence of Jesus. You know, it's not long I'm going to be there. And Sharon and I, we came in the world together. We were born in the same hospital a few hours apart. You know, some of you know that story, but we keep saying we're going out together. So if she goes before me, you better come over and hit me in the head with a pan. I want to go. No, I don't want to be funny about it, but the truth is we want to go together. Lord, I don't need anything else. I don't need anyone else but You. I'm so blessed to be in Your presence today. Are we blessed to be in His presence this morning? You alone are my heart's desire. You alone I offer my praise to. I long to worship You. You know, if you do that and keep doing it better, you're doing a good job now, church. Build that new sanctuary. Make it a place of worship like no other place. Not a lot of emotions. Just a heart so planted so well, so rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ that you love Him with all your heart. And you worship Him with all your heart. And you come prepared every Sunday morning, ready to worship. Maybe you have to go to bed a little earlier on Saturday night. Verse 7, the Lord shall reign forever. His kingdom will never end. His throne of judgment is prepared. He shall judge the world in righteousness. Verse 9 says, He is my refuge. Is He your refuge this morning? We're going to sing number 433. Daphne's going to lead us. They're going to come if you would. Just want to say Psalm 33 and verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap, and he lays the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Blessed is the nation who's the Lord's, and blessed is the church who loves the Lord with all their heart." Lead us if you would.
Thank you, Pastor. 433, if you'll stand, "I surrender all." We're going to sing all three verses.